If you would take out your scripture sheet. I vividly remember back in the year 2000 when I first sort of broke the code on the structure of this text and found out that it was two healing stories that had the same structure. It begins with an itinerary. We have the healing of 10 and return of 1. And then we have a statement about the kingdom. And what you notice in both parts of the healing story, the word Saul is used. There are several terms used for the healing: cleansed, healed, and saved. And there is a development of faith. Follow as I read. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 leprous men who stood at a distance and lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then the punchline. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not cleansed? Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Lo, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." This is the word of the Lord. Since Pastor Phil had a very challenging week, he invited me to speak with you today. I'm not a make-believe character, but a real man. My name is Jacob. Did you know that there are still several hundred of us Samaritans worshiping atop Mount Gerizim this very year? One day I hope to meet you in the flesh, resurrected flesh, of course, because I'm your brother in Christ. But today I tell you why Jesus is so dear to me. Not because I can see him face to face, but because of the day he crossed my pathway as a leper. Some would call it a happenstance, others an accident. I call it a divine appointment. He drew a circle of healing and drew me back into community. He gave me a fresh relationship with his Heavenly Father. He also gave me back my future. My problem was skin deep, but his cure went all the way to the bone. In some ways, I'm even glad that I had the leprosy, because had I not had the disease, I would not have met the man. Now, no one wants to endure human misery. But with God, misery can be the occasion for new life. For complex historical reasons, the Jews hated us Samaritans. They call us half-breeds and heretics. They had hated us for over 500 years because after the Babylonian exile, we had intermarried with the Babylonians. Our name was a curse word. It meant demon-possessed. And in your world, if you took the word offender and traitor and heretic and druggie and rolled them all into one ball and threw it at us like a fastball, that is how it fell. We were despised as a nation. But we did not see ourselves that way. We saw ourselves as an old form of Judaism before it was corrupted by Eli the high priest, who set up an altar on another mountain. We follow only the first five books of Moses. And we do not worship in the Jews' holy city of Jerusalem, but atop our Mount Gerizim, where sacrifices are offered even to this day. We are descendants of the ancient patriarch Joseph, and the Jews are descendants of the ancient patriarch Judah. And they avoided us like a plague when they went north-south. They went way over the Transjordan to avoid being near us, even though we are their spiritual and physical cousins. Sometimes there was violence between us, but mainly they just hated us and avoided us. But if you understand the geography, Judea and Jerusalem in the south, and then there is the province of Samaria, and then there is Galilee. Jews in the north, Jews in the south, Samaritans in the middle, and they go from one, went all the way across the Jordan River and came down and came up through Jericho to avoid even touching our soil. They hated us. Sort of like a brother-in-law you don't like who happens to live next door. Now, life was good for me until the red spots and scales began to appear on my skin. I was married. I had a place in life, simple by your standards. And oh, the joy of common blessings, of village greetings and hellos and waking up next to the woman you love and children to be taught the Torah and our traditions, bread and wine, laughter around a table, a sense of belonging and skin that was smooth to the touch, the dream of growing old with your grandchildren. It all ended in less than a month. At first I tried to hide the growing lesions beneath a longer robe and longer cuffs, but it could not be hidden. It came across my body like a spring down a hillside. It was leprosy, a term that we use for all kinds of scaly skin disorders, and it's not your modern Hansen's disease. But in the ancient world, we were fearful of people that the integrity of their skin was compromised. The barrier was breaking down between them and the world, and we wonder if it was because some internal barrier had been broken with God. Do you remember how 30 years ago you were frightened of AIDS? Have you felt a quiver of fear about the recent revelations of Ebola and your own missionaries come back with it? That is how we felt about scaly skin diseases. And you had to be examined, and then you were banished. You were banished. My identity changed. The priests and the elders came and examined me in the sunlight, absolutely naked. And they said, I was now a leper. And I had to leave the village and live with non-Jewish lepers and me a Samaritan. And I was no longer a man. I was a disease. I went from being touchable to untouchable, from walking among the living to living among the living dead. People in the village said, I must have committed some horrible sin for God to so smite me. I felt ugly and ashamed. My wife and children were confused. What happened to Papa? Is he really what people say? Is he a dead man? Now, before the priest came that day when my disease was still hidden, I remember the time I reached out to my wife and she recoiled. It was the beginning of the end. Her back to me at night, careful washing of all the clothes, keeping the children at a distance, separate bowls for eating. How cruel it was, but I do not blame her. With that disease, with that creeping whatever, her life ended as well as mine. I was placed under a ban. I could not come near. Now, because our village was on the border with Galilee, there was a leper colony nearby, and that is the one to which I was banished, and they were not happy that a Samaritan, unclean leper had joined their little exclusive Jewish leper club. And I remember them saying, at least we're Jews. Even at the bottom, the status games are vicious. We begged from passerbys on way to Jerusalem. Some tossed coins and bread and meat, but they never looked at us. They always looked away from us. I prayed to die. I prayed for healing. I remembered Scripture. I was angry and I was depressed and I was angry again. But one night I sneaked back into the village when there was no moon, and I looked in the window, and there was my wife and there were my children. And before I could begin to weep and wake and frighten them, I went away. Why should I drag them through the misery again? Now, while my skin was corrupted and everyone was frightened of me, I knew on the inside I was the same man I had always been. And some things will drive a man mad. What kept me alive, I do not know, except I must have been waiting for a meeting with Jesus. I was no saint, mind you. I was a man in the village. But for all those nights I reviewed my life, I could never find anything worthy of such a horrible punishment. Maybe it wasn't my fault. Maybe it just happens to some people. Maybe it's just the way it is in our world. Maybe it's a cruel joke. How many times I wished I had died. I wept and I wept and I wept till I could weep no more. We were a little colony of outcasts, and I was at the bottom of their rung. We lived in a cave near the side of the road, and sometimes people would come out from my village and bring us old vegetables and pieces of bread, and then they would leave and we would sneak out for a feast. But how horrible it is to be the object of someone's religious pity. You hungry and them scoring points with God. I felt so ugly. One of the skills you learn as a leper and beggar is reading dust clouds. If it arises quickly, it's horsemen, and you stay out of their way. But if the cloud arises slowly, it's people on foot. And you can prepare your way to cry from the side of the road for mercy, and sometimes they will give you a skin of wine or some figs or some fruit. And the wine was always popular because what did desperate men do? They get drunk. What else would you expect them to do? But about three times a year when the pilgrims were going back north and south to Jerusalem, we ate really well. Kind of like y'all with the ringers and the little kettles. You might think in our isolation we would lose touch with news, but you know, when you live by the side of the road, you hear conversations from north and south. So we were the best informed lepers in all Israel. And we had heard that something had happened up around Capernaum, that a new prophet had arisen named Jesus. We heard a story that he even touched a leper and healed him in the synagogue. That when Jesus touched him, the leper did not make Jesus unclean, but Jesus made him clean. Apparently, there was something in Jesus that was more powerful than what was on the outside of that man. And it gave us hope. We could not go see him. We would not last a day. They would kill us on the road. But maybe one day, he would find his way to our little village. Now, folks, hope is intoxicating. To think that one leper has been healed makes you wonder, can you be healed? And so our little band of lepers, we talked about that Jesus might come. And we even got together and wrote a group prayer, now that we knew his name. Jesus, Master, an exalted title in Greek, Epistates, a very powerful man. Jesus, whom we'd never seen, Epistates, powerful man, have mercy. Oh, see, when they're walking by, you don't have a lot of time. So you got to have a short, powerful prayer that's good for theology. We woke up with hope. Maybe he'll come today. One fine spring day, about 3 weeks before Passover, it happened. It was a large crowd, and we saw them turn the bend, and it was too early for pilgrim traffic, and there were lots of men and women and a guy at the head who was clearly the boss. And I listened from behind my bush, and I heard the name Jesus. And my heart leapt up, and I got our guys together, and we stood on the side of the road, and we practiced our prayer. And when he got close, we hollered, Jesus! Epistates, have mercy on us. And he stopped, and they stopped about 40 feet away. And you could hear them whispering back through the crowd of disciples, lepers, lepers, lepers. Since he had touched the guy at the synagogue, we thought he would touch us. Because that's how it's done. But we dare not approach them because those guys will beat you up. I got the bruises to prove it. So we just stood there waiting. And he just looked at us. But he looked us in the eye. He didn't look away. And then he did the strangest thing. You see, when leprosy goes away in my culture, when it's gone away, they send you to the priest in the village, and he examines you, and if your skin is okay, you offer a sacrifice, then you go to Jerusalem and offer more sacrifices, and then you come back for another skin inspection, and only then are you declared to be clean and go back to your family. But Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests, as if we were already healed. We were not. Was he playing a joke on us? My skin still looks awful. But we had heard he loved lepers. And so the 10 of us turned and peeled off and headed into the village to find the nearest priest. You see, I walked through a door one day into a leper camp. And here I walked back out and something happened. It was a test of obedience. You see, Jesus did, it wasn't sacramental touch, it was a sacramental word. He didn't touch us with his hand, he touched our ears with his word. And our anticipation became faith, and we obeyed him. How disappointed the priest was going to be if we got there and we weren't he. But about halfway there, I heard a guy shout, and he started looking at his hands. And I looked at my brown skin, and it was gone. And I pulled up my robe, and my legs were clean. And the guy next to me shouted a mild profanity. I'm heard it's on your black boxes when planes are going down. And in his voice, it was pure prayer. One of our guys took off all his clothes and got naked in the highway and ran around and said, look at me, I'm clean. I can go home now. I can be a mace. I can take up my craft. We wept. We jumped up and down. And then the 9 Jews went on to the priest. And I'm standing there because I just had an idea, and I wonder if it came from God. You see, when Jesus looked at me, he saw me. And I think I now see him. And I'm as interested in getting to know the giver as I am in receiving the gift. I'm not against my friends. They were in misery. They helped me form that prayer. When Jesus came, we all prayed together. We were all obedient. We were all healed. I'm glad for what happened to them, but I gotta do more. I don't want to have a distance relationship with Jesus. I want to fall at the feet of the guy that healed me. So he runs back, and all the way back, he gets louder and louder and louder. And he falls at Jesus' feet, and he praises God. Now, I'm that man, I'll tell you. I saw the sandals he wore, and I saw his toenails. And I'll tell you, if God has toenails, that's what they look like. And he didn't say a word. He just let me weep and pray and praise, as if he was worthy of worship. And then his sandals turned around, and with one hand pointing at me and the other to the crowd, he said, were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Could no one come back and give thanks except this foreigner? It wasn't a put down. He was praising me, a Jewish prophet praising a Samaritan leper as a great man of faith. And then he said, "Stand on your feet." And I looked into the eyes of the one that I had seen from 40 feet away. And he said, "Go home. Go back to your wife. Go back to your children. Go back to your orange grove. Go back to Mount Gerizim. Your faith has made you whole." There was faith to believe the stories about Jesus. There was faith for the lepers to form a prayer. There was faith for them to shout to Jesus on the road. There was faith for them to be obedient. There was faith for them to be healed. But faith was not completed until the Samaritan came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped Him. Boy, that first orange tastes good. But it was not as good as my wife's first kiss. When I walked back in the town, I took my shirt off so everybody could see, and I turned around in the middle of the square. They looked like they'd seen a ghost. And to hug my son and daughter and to see the whiskers come out of his chin that summer as he began to make the journey, I was made whole. Years later, when the apostles finally came to Samaria, when they came in our village, I told them that I had already met their Savior and that He had changed me. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not even afraid of leprosy. Because Jesus is stronger than anything that fills a human being with shame and makes us feel far from God. Richard Hansen wrote, "God's reality in our world is like gently falling rain. We each have a bowl in our hearts and minds with which to catch God's reality if we just hold it before us. But it makes all the difference in the world whether our bowl is turned upwards or downwards." Thank you for hearing my story today of Jacob the Samaritan leper. And thanks to Pastor Phil for letting me fill the pulpit today. He will be back next Sunday. And don't you dare tell him that I preach a better sermon than he does. You don't want to encourage the poor boy or discourage him. What an amazing story of the wholeness that God wants for people and the journey of faith that makes it possible. I invite you to take just 30 seconds in silence and to pray, "Lord, Lord, Lord, have mercy on me." In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, today we pray for the doctors and the nurses and the staffs at our hospitals, the thousands of people it takes to bring scientific medicine to bear on frightened, hurting people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, today we specially pray for dermatologists who deal with people with eczema and psoriasis, people who itch and are always uncomfortable. Bless their efforts, O Lord. But also, Lord, cancer surgeons who deal with skin cancers and defacing surgeries. Put your hands on their hands as they do their holy work. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, for people whose skin is fine but who feel like they are lepers because of something that was done to them or stolen from them or something that they have become by bad decisions. Their conscience condemns them and they feel far from you. Grant them an encounter with Jesus Christ, who will again draw His circle large enough to bring them close. Lord, in Your mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The hymn we're about to sing is a summary of the gospel ministry of Jesus. It's hymn number 263. Please stand.
When Jesus the healer passed through Galilee,